Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Sing with me, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Hallelujah. God, you're so
God, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you.
Hallelujah.
I call out to you again and again.
Hallelujah.
I call out to you again and again. You're my rock. You are.
Yes, Lord, our hope is in you alone. You are the solid rock that sustains us, that keeps us, establishes us. We magnify you. Lord, we repent before you for failing you in so many ways. But we do know that you are the God who restores us. You're God who establishes us and the God who helps us. And we ask, oh God, that that unction that you have already given, that grace that you've already given, will be activated in us even now. A Lord, oh God, that there will be an automation of grace that helps us live the fulfilled life, live out the destiny you've called us to, helping us, oh God, to fulfill your divine mandate, your commission to us, every single one of us, with signs, wonders, and miracles following. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you. Welcome to the house of the Lord this wonderful day, this beautiful evening. Once upon a time, it was very cold. Now it's very hot. And knowing people, we complain at both ends. But let's just enjoy it anyway. While we have it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to thank God for every one of you that you've taken time to come to the house of the Lord. You know, at least, I'll say 3 or 4 times in the year, I stop. It just happens just like that. I stop and I say, why do people come to church? Why do people read the Bible and pray? Why? What's the reason? Why does anybody drive from his house and come to church and raise hands and give their money? And I reflect on it. And then I reflect on this. Why does anyone come listen to anything I have to say? So it's important to me that I don't waste your time at any time, because your time is important. Your time is your life. And that you never come here and hear nothing. You have to hear the word of the Lord. Doesn't matter if I'm reading the same passage over and over again. The word of God is so deep that you cannot empty it. Amen? Every time you jump in the water, it's a new sport. Praise the Lord. Because it's moving. Praise God. You know, so I can read you the same passage this morning, and then the evening I read you the same passage and preach from the same passage, and tomorrow read the same passage, and you wonder, where is all of that coming from? From the same place? The same verse? Yes. Because God is on the move. See, the angels, cherubims are going around the throne of God, and all they're saying as they're going around and around is, holy, holy, holy. Because every time they see a new perspective of God they did not see before, God is so eternally wonderful that you cannot see every facet of Him. Hallelujah. But His word is still consistent. His word is still true. Amen. And He expects the same thing of you and I, that just as He is changing, that we are also changing, but still consistent. That's a strange thing for you to be changing and still be consistent. But that's who God is. to every one of us and how He wants us to live our lives, that we are moving from glory to glory to glory. Amen? But there are certain things that don't change. For people to be saved, they have to have the Word. They have to have Jesus. And they're not going to come to know Jesus just like that, except, as the Word of God says, somebody preaches the Word. And who has He assigned to preach the Word? You and I. That's our assignment. If all God was interested in is you getting saved and going to heaven, the day you get saved, that's the day you check out. That's how we'll know that somebody just got saved. They died and they went to heaven. But God left us here to be His representatives, to be the vehicle through which the gospel is preached. This morning, I ended the ministry of the Word by going to a particular verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. It was, in a sense, an introduction or a link point to the Word of the Lord for us tonight. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1, we read these very powerful words. It seems benign at the beginning, but it's loaded. Solomon, who is the king of Israel, the son of David, introduces himself first and foremost as the preacher. The words of the preacher. In essence, he was saying to us, my real purpose, my true assignment, yes, I am king. Yes, I'm a son of David. But before any of that, my first assignment is to be the preacher. Yes, it's important that I am the son of David. Yes, it is important that I'm king in Jerusalem. But first and foremost, I am the preacher. That description must be what describes you and I. The preacher. The preacher. For me, my platform is a platform not of a king, but of a pastor. That's my platform. I'm a son of the late Reverend Dr. Chief Edwin Eniwo Edukore. That's my father. I'm his son. But Before that, I'm a preacher, the son of who is a pastor. My pastoral position is the platform that I use to preach. Your platform may be the platform of a businessman, a businesswoman, a doctor, a nurse, a truck driver, a taxi driver, an engineer, a politician. Whatever that platform is, that is a platform God gave to you as your point of reference to minister the word of God. First of all, as a preacher. Are you with me so far? I am a preacher. The daughter of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, a housewife. That's your platform. To reach other housewives. To reach other house husbands. To reach other city workers. While you're standing together, you know, watching the grass grow, preach. Say something. Isn't it a wonderful day today? Oh, it's a warm day. Thank God for warmth. Thank God that I can experience this, that I'm not dead and 6 feet under because God has given me life. Aren't you glad that we are alive? Aren't you glad that we have a job because God has blessed us? What are you talking about? Oh, if it were not for God, we would not be standing here watching the grass grow, man. It's God. That's called the preacher. Finding an opportunity to communicate the word of God. A preacher. How's your family doing today? How's your wife? How are your children? Oh, the last time I talked to you, what's her name? Eunice. That's your daughter. Yeah. She was having some issues and we prayed about that. How's she doing now? Preacher. Finding every possible opportunity to minister the word of God. To impact your life. It's not about just bringing people to church. It's about reaching them. Yes, we want to bring them to church so that they can be disciples, so that they can keep on hearing the word of God and the body can minister to them. But my first role is to be a preacher. That's your first role. In the 12th verse of Ecclesiastes, hear him again. He says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel. In Jerusalem. I, the preacher. Will you say that with me? I, the preacher. One more time. I, the preacher. Again. I, the preacher. When you wake up in the morning, remember, I am the preacher. My platform may be different from yours, but you are a preacher. Different platforms. A platform of a civil engineer, But I'm first and foremost a preacher. An emergency room nurse, but first and foremost a preacher. Whatever it is you think you are, and I've spent quite a time just making this one point, and you're saying, Pastor, get to the next point. We got it already. Yes, I want you to get it until you're annoyed of hearing it, and you remember why you got annoyed. Pastor kept on telling me, I am a preacher. That's it. I'm the preacher. That's my first assignment. Why is that so? Because there's a world that is dying and heading in the direction of hell. And if I love people, I got to do everything to make certain that they hear the gospel by every means possible. I, the preacher. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, Luke 10, I'm going to take it from the verse I really want is verse 17, but I'm going to take it from about verse 10. Luke 10, or 12. He sends his disciples out, sending them out, and he says to them, go tell them the word. He says, as you go, don't take anything with you. You are provided for. But when you go to a city, if they refuse you, if they refuse to hear you, he says, just move on. Go to the next place. Just shake the dust off of your feet, and it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than that particular community that rejected you. Because they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting God. He says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. 13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. 14. Well, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum. Now, this is his headquarters. Capernaum. Capernaum. City of Nahum. He says, but thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven. You're exalted to heaven. You know, this is very descript. He's saying about Capernaum, where his headquarters was, that Capernaum was exalted to heaven. Why? Because he was there. This was his headquarters. And because this was where he was, this place is exalted to heaven. There's a reason why I'm communicating this to you based on the Word of God. Because the Word is this. Because I preach does not mean that people will be saved. It is not my responsibility to save them. It's my responsibility to preach to them. Hello? That's all I'm responsible for. Make sure you communicate the word and communicate it lovingly and carefully and all of that. Leave that. Because see, listen, I was in Capernaum. Capernaum was exalted all the way to heaven. But I say, shall be thrust down to hell. Why? Because the presence of God was right there, but they did not breathe. They did not receive it. You cannot determine what people are going to receive and how they're going to receive it, but you have this assignment: provide the answer. And if they choose it, praise God. If they choose not, it's on their head. So Ezekiel chapter 18 tells us, it says, watchman, if you see issues happen and you tell the people that there's problem coming and they save themselves, he says, you've done well, you've saved them and you've saved your own neck. He says, but if you as a watchman, you see problems coming, but you don't tell the people that problems are coming. He says, yeah, they are going to die, but the blood, their blood is going to be on your hands. So if we don't preach the blood of the people that are lost on us, it is my responsibility to preach, to communicate the word of God, one way or the other, directly or indirectly, but it must be communicated. 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Meaning, despiseth God, the Father. So it's not you that they're rejecting. They're rejecting the Father. They're rejecting what Father? The Father who loved them. But give them the chance, the opportunity to accept or to reject. Assume nothing. Oh, those people, they will not listen to the word of God. Have you preached it to them? How do you know? Every month, we've been preaching the gospel from this platform to the land of Pakistan, different communities, remote areas. Destiny helpers right there. They take their equipment, a simple screen and a projector, and they go from one community to another. And we stay here and we preach the word of God. We minister the word of God to them. And every week, or rather every month, hundreds of people are coming to salvation. Hindus, Muslims, people. Listen, when you're in Pakistan, you don't publicly say, I'm a Christian. And God is healing them. Miracles are happening. Deaf ears are opening. Blind eyes are opening. Every week, or rather every month, they send us the pictures and the reports of what is happening. How many people got saved? How many people got healed? Incredible miracles. When God said to us, pre the pandemic, that we're going to be ministering to Hindus and blah, 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 I'm saying, how are we going to do this? Busy enough? And if you want me to go into Muslim countries and Hindus, those people, the last time I was in India, they wanted to kill me. You want me to go there? And now they are coming to salvation. All we needed to do is preach. But we can sit down here, all those people, all they are diehard Muslims. Oh, they will never accept Jesus. Oh. And God is busy saving them. delivering them, restoring them. The grace of God is touching lives far and near. All that was needed is that we preach the gospel. Hallelujah. That's all God. Just preach the gospel. You know, the last ministry time I had was oh my Lord. Why are you doing this to me tonight? Because it wasn't funny. It was the first time that the team, because of certain things that were happening here, couldn't assist me. You know, so I was going to just use my iPad and do the ministering myself via the iPad. There's a set time for me to be online. I believe it was supposed to be 9:30. Yeah, 9:30. Every day I wake up around 6:30, spend some time in prayer and whatever else, and then I have this habit. After I listen to the Call to Victory broadcast, then I will take a quick nap for about an hour or so. And then my alarm comes on and I start my day, because my day is going to end at about 2 a.m. every day. So I took a nap. The alarm went off, but I didn't hear the alarm. Mama says, didn't you say that you're supposed to be recording to Pakistan today? And I looked at the clock. It was 9:37. I was supposed to be on at 9:30. Hi, Lord God Almighty. Oh, man. Thank God for Zoom. I'm running crazy and dressing up and everything. You know, my hair was not properly combed. I cannot get to the church, you know. So now I go to my backyard and I'm going to try to get on Zoom. My iPad that was being charged is completely dead. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, what am I going to do? No iPad? I hope my iPhone will work. So I turned on the iPhone, and sure enough, they're on the other side, and they could hear me, and I could hear them. I didn't know it was going to work, but God did something, because I need an interpreter. But now I don't have a Bible in front of me, so I said, Lord God, what am I going to preach? He says, you know John 3:16? I said, yeah, I know John 3:16. So I preached the lousiest message I can possibly preach, because I'm frazzled by all the things happening. And when I finished, I said, I think this is going to be the best message, and more people are going to get saved, and more people are going to get healed from this message, because I remember the lousiest message I ever presented, presentation I ever did at City Hall many years ago, got me the permit for a church that they had turned me down on. I said, God is going to use this. And what do you think happened? More people got saved. More people got healed. More people got delivered. I said, God used that mess. He used it. Point. Stop thinking, I got to have the perfect presentation for God to do what he needs to do. All God wants you to do is preach. That's all he wants you to do. Just preach. I'll take care of the rest. You cannot save them. I do the saving. You cannot draw them. I do the drawing. You cannot heal them. I do all of that. Just preach. That's it. Just preach. So they did. The Bible tells us in Luke 10, 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were? Yeah. Just like, you know how you just say, get out of here, and they got out? We said, get out of here in Jesus' name. And they got out. People were delivered. Ah. And listen to the Lord Jesus explain what happened. And he said unto them, I beheld, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's why you got the results. The strong man is defeated. Hallelujah. 19. Behold. Watch this. Behold, I give unto you power. Somebody say, shout power. Say, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. By any means. Doesn't matter which way they try. I've given you power to supersede them. And no matter which way they try, no matter which way they maneuver themselves, they will not be able to hurt you. Wow, what a promise. You are not hurtable because I have empowered you. Glory be to God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Isn't that glorious? That is a promise of God to us. The Lord says to us in Matthew, Matthew, the 28th chapter. Watch this statement of the Lord to us. Right here in verse 18. Jesus, our Lord, came to his disciples and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. All power is given unto me. The word power there is the word exousia. Exousia is the word for authority. So he says, all authority is given unto me in the earth and also in the heavens. Then it says, verse 19, because all power in heaven and on earth, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, go ye therefore, on the basis of the fact that I have all the authority. The authority meaning that I have total access. Watch this. Come with me. It means that there is no place that you don't have authority to go into. You and I have been authorized. And we have access to be able to communicate the Word of God to people. He says, I want you to know that all authority has been given to me, therefore, go. Teach all nations. Teach all nations. Teach all nations. In another passage, he says, disciple them. And the idea is this, that God gives us access to every realm. Meaning, watch this, that the God of this world that blinds people from being able to hear the word of the gospel, that when we come on the basis of the authority of God, are you with me? There's a few listening to me, sons, daughters around the world. Listen to this. This is important. The Lord says, bind the strong man and you can spoil his house. Yes? By the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has received, the satanic forces in every nation are bound. And we have access. Basically then, this is what is true. I have the access to be able to communicate the word of God with men and women to such an extent that they will hear it. But I have to believe that I have received that authority. When we don't believe that we have received the authority, we pray prayers of unbelief. We start asking God to do something that He has already done already. I have access to every nation in the earth. And it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do, I have access. And I flash the badge of authority and say, buzz off, get out of the way. I have access. You cannot deafen this person and make it impossible for them to hear what I have to say. They must hear what I have to say so that they have the ability and the choice to reject it or accept it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when you go to work, when you ride in the bus, when you're driving, when you're pumping gas, whatever it is, whatever opportunity God gives to you, that man will hear what I have to say. Father, I am your preacher. Today I'm going to go out and I need your word for the people that you have assigned to me to speak to today. And you don't know what you're going to say, but it says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And you will begin to prophesy and speak prophetically into a life of somebody. Bring a word of exaltation to somebody that is downcast. You see, so, you know, sometimes you don't need to discern by the Spirit. You can tell it by just looking at the person. If you see somebody that is sad, won't you know? Will you? Of course. You don't need a word of knowledge to know the person is sad. You can come alongside the person and just say something nice. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but I see that it's affecting you. But I want you to know that God loves you and God has an answer for this particular situation. And when you think it's all lost and it's all scrambled eggs, God has a sneaky way of turning things around and causing things that have gone sour around and bringing sweetness out of it. I just want to leave you with that word today. You know, that God will do something for you. What was that? That was a prophetic declaration over that life as a preacher. You just spoke life to that person. I say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that word. You don't have to be hyper spiritual about it. No, you can just speak a simple word. And God will use that simple word and minister peace to that heart. And something will happen to them. He says, I've given you authority. All the power, all the authority is given unto me. Therefore, go into the world. Preach the gospel. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you all way. All the way. Even unto the end of the world. I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm there with you. And I'm going to confirm my word through you, through signs, miracles, and wonders. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Mark, Mark 16:15. He said, and said unto them, go ye into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. Preach the word. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. But preach it to everybody. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Watch this. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. And this sign shall follow them that what? Believe. Which means that believed and are saved. So what is this anointing for? It is for those that are saved. It's not just for the pastor, for the evangelist, for the teacher, the prophet, the apostle. It is a sign that follows everyone that believes. I think I was barely a month old in the Lord when I cast out my first set of demons. You don't have to be, okay, you've graduated after 10 years of knowing the Lord. No, no. He says, them that believe. And them that believe are the ones that are saved. So if you're saved, these signs will follow you. In my name, saved one, you're going to cast out devils. You are going to speak with new tongues. Those that believe and are saved will speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. Oh, I have, you know, I have to be, you know, a Christian for at least 6 years. Then I'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. No. The very day you got saved, that day you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This is the commitment of God. To every one of us. And having pronounced that proclamation, verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them those words, giving them the instruction, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and what? Preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. I thought he was seated in heaven. Yeah. The one who is seated in heaven is working in conjunction with us. Whatever it is that we say we need, he supplies. Whatever we declare in his name, he brings to pass. Working with them and confirming and confirming and confirming the word that they preached with signs following. Amen. So let it be. Verified, stamped. So the question is, why aren't we preaching? Why do you think that the only preacher in the house is the one standing behind this pulpit? Aren't you aware of the fact that you are called to preach? I can preach here, but there are so many other people that you get to meet every day that you're called to preach to. Tell them the good news that God loves them. The other day I was at Home Depot. There was a lady that was serving me, helping me to get something. I noticed she had an issue with her knee. She said, oh, this knee is killing me. When she finished doing what she needed to do, I said, do you mind if I prayed for you? Do you know that all these years, not one person yet has denied me praying for them when I ask if they mind? Not one person yet. That's not to say that there might not be somebody somewhere, sometime. But I still have not seen them yet. And I'm not planning on meeting any of those. I pray for them. It's not me that's going to do anything for them. It's God. I'm going to speak the word of God, and like he says here, the Lord who seated on the throne was working with them because they went everywhere preaching. Hello? Everywhere. They were preaching. And he was confirming the word that they spoke with signs following. That's what we've got. A God who wants to work hand in hand with us. By the way, he's very interested in saving them, healing them, delivering them, because he gave his life for them for that particular purpose. So you have somebody who is going to be on your side 24/7 helping you bring about what he wants done. He's 100% behind you preaching. He's 100% behind me preaching. I don't need to sweat it. I know I've told you this story before, and I'll wrap up with it. Many years ago, this must have been, late 80s, or maybe early part of the 90s, 91, something like that. The Lord had sent me to go to India. I'd received an invitation from a man of God called Anam K. Paul. Took me to a place called Orissa province in India, and started out. He had a Bible school there that they were working on, and I was teaching there for about a week in this Bible school, and God was doing miracles with these young people. And one day they said to me, there's a woman in the community that has not walked for many years. Will you come and pray? God is doing great things here. Let's take it out on the street. So we went to this woman. She was lying. She's a very heavy set woman. She must have weighed, I'll say, close to 400 pounds. This bedridden, not walked for about 8 or 10 years. Her problem, she had some kind of a disease that if she put her foot on the ground, if there was a grain of sand and she steps on it, it will shoot mega pain right through her body. And so she's been in so much pain for all these years that she just gave up. It wasn't that she couldn't walk. It was that she was in great pain when she tried. So they brought me to her to pray for her, and I walked into the room. I grabbed her by the hand. I said, "Let's go." The woman believed. She got, I've not even prayed. I don't even know her name. Just, "Let's go." She puts her foot on the ground. She gets out of the room and starts walking on dirt. People are screaming and shouting. I'm looking at this. I didn't know what God had started. It didn't dawn on me yet. But two nights or so later, we were having the official mass crusade. And I'd preached the word of God. And it was now time for me to pray. Because that's how I'd seen it. My pastor while I was in Nigeria, you saw him last month, Bishop Simeon Oka. You know, he will preach the word and then he will pray for the sick. I'd heard of T.L. Osborne. I'd seen him preach the word of God. And once upon a time, I was such a good artist. I don't know what I can, you know, if you don't use the gift God has given to you, you lose it. But I saw T.L. Osborne preaching the gospel, went home and painted T.L. Osborne and brought him. How many of you know of T.L. Osborne? Anybody here? Oh, a few. Okay. I brought him his picture. I said, he said, you did this? I said, yes. That's me. I said, yeah. I was a little kid. I'm going to take this to Tulsa, and I'm going to put it in my, I don't know what it's called, a museum or whatever, something. No, not vestibule. This was going to be in his ministry museum or library or whatever it is. He was going to put it in there. I said. So before I got to North America, my picture preceded me, my drawing. So anyway, I had seen, that's all I'd seen, people preach the word and pray for the sick. So I'm going to do the same thing. And I'm about to start praying for the sick, and the Lord says, it's testimony time. I said, testimony time, what's that? He said, do you know what testimony is? I said, Lord, I've not prayed for the sick yet. He said, I love them better than all the prayers you're going to pray. I said, okay. So I said, it's testimony time. God has healed you. And the pastors that were on the stage grabbed their Bibles and started going down the steps. I said, what are those guys doing? The Lord says to me, they think you're crazy. I said, well, Lord, you told me to do it. He said, I didn't say you're crazy. They think you are crazy. So now, those guys are taking off because you cannot be messing around like that in India. If there's no, if power doesn't show up, your goose is cooked. So I'm standing there waiting for testimonies. Nobody's moving. I'm getting really frazzled and upset. You know, I think it might have been about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, but it looked like an hour to me. Nobody moving. All of a sudden, I see a guy. Move in. The guy's coming like this. I said, Lord, that guy better not be coming here. He better not be coming here because everybody in this grounds knows that guy's not healed. And he better not be coming here. So I calm myself down. I just breathe for a moment. Just calm down. So I calm myself down. I said, okay, maybe he's blind and now he can see. Or he was deaf and now he can hear something. Because I know this guy is not healed. Then I watch him come by the edge of the stage. And I'm saying, oh, yeah, the ushers are going to stop him there. No, they don't stop him. They help him up the stage. The guy is still doing this number. What is going on here? I look away from him. I don't want to talk to this guy. I look over here. It's testimony time. Nobody's moving. All I'm left with is this guy that I know is not healed. At least that's what I thought. The guy keeps on coming. So I said to the interpreter, ask him what God has done for him. What is it that he could not do before that he can now do? Was he blind and now he can see, deaf? And the interpreter interpreted, and the guy goes like this. Jesus is Lord, oh God. I look at the interpreter, I said, tell him to do what he could not do before. Was he blind and he can now see? What is it that he couldn't do before? He said, that's what I told him to do. I said, okay, tell him to do it again. Whatever it is that he's doing. And the guy goes, Jesus is Lord. I don't know what to do with myself at this point. I'm looking at this guy. This guy is not healed. At least that's what I thought. And the Lord says, ask him to jump again. I say, okay, jump again. And the guy goes. I said, Lord, nothing's happening. He said, ask him to jump again. And I asked him to jump again. And I saw the guy's hand go a little bit higher. I said, do it again. I said, is exactly what happened here. He said, I have been paralyzed for years, and they carried me right here to these grounds today. And when you said it's testimony time, something said to me to get up. I said, you mean you've been paralyzed all this? He said, yeah. I said, do it again. Now I'm excited. And the guy jumps and his hand is all the way up. I said, hallelujah. Nobody knew on that grounds that I was as scared as a mouse that has been pursued by a cat. I looked, and by now there's a lineup of people. Blind, deaf, crippled, all of them coming up. God had done the miraculous, healed them, confirmed his word with signs, wonders, and miracles, and I didn't have to pray. I didn't pray. I had nothing to do with it. All I did was just listen to what God was saying to do. Why did the Lord have me tell you this story again? To just remind you that's all about him. He just wants to use you as a conduit, as the body, to flow out and bring out the rivers of grace, healing, and deliverance to the masses. Let us let God be God in us now and always. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord has placed in my heart for you today. And I trust that it has been received. There's so much more that I wanted to share, but that's going to be it for tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your anointing, the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. I ask, O God, this day, Lord, that every one of us will recognize, as your word has been spoken to us, that we are preachers. And that, Lord, O God, that we have an assignment. And, Father, that you are working in us, with us, by us, through us, for us, to bring about healing, deliverance, salvation, peace, redemption to the masses. Father, we thank you, Lord, O God, for a world that is open to us. Father, through every medium possible. Lord, O God, give us access to men and women that through all possible means that we present the undefiled, uncompromised, undiluted, eternal word of truth. That Jesus, our sovereign Lord, Yeshua, will move upon the hearts of men and bring many to salvation. Lord, O God, bring them, O God, into this sphere. Bring them, O God, into our realm of influence. And help us, O God, to be able to minister your truth in discipling men and women and bringing them to the knowledge of who you are. And we, O God, as your church, will bring to you souls, souls, souls. For that's your heartbeat. And Lord, O God, we want to cooperate with you and be partners with you in seeing lives transformed, ours and theirs. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord and Messiah, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of you that took time to come. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving as we release our seed of faith. May the hand of God's favor rest upon every one of us. May he multiply our seed sown, and may the joy of the Lord truly be our strength. Remind you once again that in a few days from now, 10 days precisely, we are going to be having our Spiritual Warfare 2 conference, and we want you to be ready for that particular conference. We have a video available as a promotional for that conference. You might also see it on Facebook live or whatever other platforms that we may be utilizing. And we'd like for you to share. Invite people. Doesn't matter where they are. Might be in Poland, might be in Ukraine, in Russia, in China, and in London, in Lagos, Nigeria, in Accra, Ghana, wherever it is, you know, in Kenya, all over the world, invite people to participate in this particular conference. Let them like us, let them subscribe, let them whatever they need to do, because every month this year, we will be having a conference. That is the mandate the Lord gave. It was a mega assignment, so to speak, especially during the pandemic. You know, how are you going to get these men and women of God, men of stature? You're not going to give them, you know, a tunic for honorarium, you know. And how are we going to do this? But God has been good. Thank God we've been able to honor the men and the women of God as best as we can. And so, and I know that God is blessing that, and God is blessing you, you know, to do what you need to do concerning that. I'll let the video play, and then I will wrap up.
Push back the darkness and redeem the times. Hallelujah. Victory, we win.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's 3 days. First day is going to be a teaching of the word. The second day is going to be a Q&A where you will be answering questions that you may have concerning spiritual warfare. And you can send that information to us, email it to us, text it, whichever way you need to send that information. And tomorrow is your last day, because we're going to be doing the recording, the Q&A recording, in just a few days. Give us time to go through the questions you have and be ready to respond to it, as we should during that particular conference. And of course, the last day is going to be a teaching of the Word of God. And when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're not just going to be teaching, we're going to be doing it. Amen? The assignment is to push back the darkness and to glorify God in our land. We are, as we were taught this morning, the shield of the Lord over the earth. Whatever missiles the enemy is trying to project in the earth, we are able to quench those fiery darts of the enemy, because God is enabling us to be what He wants done in the earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. May the Lord continue to strengthen and encourage you. May the God of peace equip you, empowering you to live life to the full. Let every satanic agenda be brought to an immediate halt. May the God of war fight for you and for your family and raise you up to be a champion in the earth. May the God of peace elevate you, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. You shall lack nothing. You will walk in divine health and prosperity. Peace shall reign in your home. Wherever you go, the glory of God will be made manifest. I declare and decree this by the word of faith. And everyone that believes this word, this declaration, said in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless you. See you Wednesday for another time in the study of the Word of God. And of course, on Friday will be our prayer meeting. Praise God. Good night. Those of you that are listening online on Facebook Live and YouTube, and we look forward to fellowshipping again in this platform. Good night. Love you. Bye-bye. Is there anyone on Zoom?